Grace and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. As many of you know, I love a good quote. Having majored in philosophy back in college, having been trained in reflective and critical thought by my dad from a very early age, I love the philosophic nature of a good quote, often very useful for both reflection and instruction. One such quote, which I readily identify with, by Mark Twain, one of my favorite quoters, I guess I would say. I'm not sure of all his books, but I like his quotes. A man known for his thought-provoking quotes is this: "It's not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog." And so it is that the shepherd boy David could defeat the warrior giant Goliath. So it is that the little honey badger can stave off the attacks of both lions and hyenas. So it is that the young U.S. national hockey team made up of college students could defeat the star-studded professional season Soviet Union hockey team in the 1980 Olympics. Ask most any coach, given the choice between coaching a talented athlete who has very little drive or a mediocre talented athlete with the heart of a lion, most any coach will take that driven athlete every single time. That's why upsets happen in sports. Why a relatively unknown Buster Douglas could defeat the seemingly invincible, undisputed heavyweight champion of the world, Mike Tyson, back in the 1990 boxing bout which they had. It's not about the dog in the fight. It's about the fight in the dog. I thought of Twain's quote as I sat in my office and read the gospel lesson appointed for this Sunday. As Jesus spoke with and taught his disciples, they said to him, "Increase our faith." And Jesus replied to them, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you." Now, while that quote from Jesus might be encouraging and hope-filled on some level, it's also kind of sad and disturbing on another level. Because, see, I don't know about you, but I've never moved any trees. And if all it takes is a smidgen of faith to move a tree, and you and I haven't moved any trees, then what does that say about the size of our faith? We must not even have a mustard seed size of faith. And that's pretty sad. And it's rather disturbing. How is it that after all that He has done for us and continues to do for us, our faith in Him is still so small? How is it that we can't move trees? That we still worry? That we still doubt? We still get afraid? When the disciples asked Jesus to increase their faith, they were, in essence, asking Him to make them stronger. They seemingly believed that if they had a stronger faith, if it was stronger on their part, that would give them more of an ability to keep and follow God's laws, which would give them more of an assurance that they would spend eternity with God. They probably believed that the size of their faith was in direct proportion to their ability to attain to life in heaven with God. But they were sorely mistaken, as they would later learn. For what counts in gaining eternal life is not the size of one's faith, but the size of one's God, in whom that faith trusts. You see, any size faith, if it is in the Almighty, triune God of the universe, can move trees and mountains, walk on water, slay giants, heal diseases, and even raise the dead. Because God can do all those things. So again, presuming that we all here have at least a little bit of faith in God, I ask the question again, why haven't we been moving any trees or any mountains? I think Jesus answers this question in Matthew 21 when the disciples wondered how a fig tree, which had not borne any fruit and was cursed by Jesus, withered so quickly. And Jesus said to them, "If you have faith and do not doubt, you can say to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and it will be done." And again in Matthew 14, you remember the story when Jesus walked on the water and he called for Peter to walk out to him, and Peter starts to walk out. But then the scriptures say he saw the wind and he got afraid and he began to sink. And Jesus reached out his hand and he caught him and he said to Peter, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" So it would seem that it's not the lack of the size of our faith that prevents us from moving trees and mountains, both physically and metaphorically speaking, but the presence of doubt, which seems to handicap our faith. Because the truth be told, the size of our God is big enough. He parted the Red Sea, closed the mouths of lions, defeated entire armies, fed multitudes, healed diseases, cast out demons, raised the dead. And finally, in one great and glorious display of his power, and as a grand crescendo to the incarnate life of his Son on this earth, he defeated sin, death, and the power of the devil through the death and resurrection of Jesus. And thus, regardless of the minuteness of our faith, it is enough to grasp hold of God's forgiveness for us and fill us with the hope of everlasting life with God in His kingdom of heaven. Even the smallest, the weakest, even a doubt-filled faith in Christ Jesus is enough to save us, because Christ Jesus is enough to save us. As he told Paul, his grace is sufficient His sacrifice on the cross and His victory over death and the grave was enough. His power and His love and forgiveness are made perfect in our weakness. And thus we don't need to ask God to increase our faith so that we can be assured of our salvation. For our salvation can never and will never rest in our faith in God, but rather in the God in whom we have faith. Big or small, strong or weak, certain or full of doubt, doesn't matter. For it's not the size and the strength and the scope of our faith which saves us, but it is the God in whom our faith trusts that saves us. And thus any faith, even a small faith, even a weak faith, even a faith full of doubt and worry and fear, if it is in Christ Jesus the Lord, it is sufficient to save us. For Christ Jesus is always more than sufficient to save us. To Him be the glory forever. Amen.